Hello and welcome to another Sustainable Wine Podcast with me, Toby Webb. And I am delighted that joining me in today's podcast is Franck Bigeon, who is the president of the Cru Bourgeois de Médoc. So welcome to the Sustainable Wine Podcast, Franck.
Welcome to your team and great pleasure to see you.
Well, thank you for making the time to speak with us today. For those of our listeners who don't know what the Cru Bourgeois de Médoc is, maybe you can tell us.
Today, Cru Bourgeois is a family of Cru, 250 chateaux in the Médoc, between the north of Bordeaux and the north of the Médoc area. It represents today more or less 23, 24 million barrels a year and manage with the same value about today, the pure environment side, and with many, many virtuous practices on viticulture and in vinification too.
So you have about 250 members, is that correct?
250 members, with today, due to the last classification we had in 2020, you have 14 exceptional Cru Bourgeois, you have a 56 superior Cru Bourgeois, and the rest is more than 180 regular Cru Bourgeois.
So when people think about Bordeaux, they often think about the big marks, the grand marks, the big names. But a lot of your members are family-owned businesses. What's this average size?
Probably you could have from 1-2 hectares until, for example, 200 hectares, for example. In my case, I manage the largest estate in Médoc, okay, as a Cru Bourgeois Supérieur. It's mainly family business. But now, as you know, the last 10, 15, 20 years, we had a concentration with largest estate now, and probably the average, if we need to talk about average, it could be probably 15, 18 hectares.
So in many cases, that's what we call kind of smallholder farmers. Tell us about the social and environmental and economic sustainability initiatives that you're currently undertaking with the Cru Bourgeois members.
It will be a long way to manage sustainability through this huge family of 250 estates. The first one was to, inside our rules, to present the obligation to have the minimum we talked is the highest environmental value from the Ministry of Agriculture in France. Today, and it will be the case for the following classification, all the Cru Bourgeois will have the HVE certification, the highest certification for environmental side made by the Ministry of Agriculture. But I consider that it's not the future. The future will be to share with the 250 and with time, because we need time for that. The next 5 years will be just enough to bring sustainability inside each estate. And when we talk about sustainability, as you know, it's not only the environment part, also the social part and societal part. Personally, I'm engaged for the last 25 years in the highest level in expertise by international certification evaluation. We need at least the next 5 years to manage sustainability inside our family, because we consider that probably the best way to grow for tomorrow. The first step will be the next classification. It will be in 2 years, with obligation to have an official certification for the environment. And the day after, beginning to think about our territory, how we can live with our territory, as the human being we need to have with the employees, all the training we need to do for tomorrow, for innovation, for many, many, many things.
What's the difference between HVE1 and HVE3? Just explain the levels, and where do you expect members to get to more when?
The official certification by the Ministry of Agriculture is a certification with 3 steps. The first one, level one, is just to be engaged. Step two is to be engaged and to develop a real policy for the environment, in your practices in the vineyard and even in the cellars. The last step is HVE, the certification. You need to prove what we do with results. There's a reason why tomorrow, it will be the case for all the Cru Bourgeois, to be or HVE or to have another certification, could be organic or biodynamic, and also with all the certification as ISO 9001 or ISO 14001, you know? And that's the next step for the Cru Bourgeois tomorrow.
And what about the social issues that you mentioned? How inclusive of those social issues are these, you know, standards and other work
when we're
doing?
When we think about what was the MEDOC 30 years ago, it changed a lot. Now, we have the capacity to be really resilient and inclusive. We employed a lot of people coming from different associations of people with difficulties. As a case, for example, in my estate, I employed 4 people. We have also capacity to have probably a huge amount of training for everybody in the company. We need to explain even to the small estate, or yourself you need to be trained, or your unique employee, because you need to grow together. And also the last part, I think it could be probably the case very, very soon, because the government tried to take the decision in a few days, is to share the profit, a part of the profit of each company, each vineyard, with the people working in. And you know, it's a case in my company. I decided 12 years ago to put this incentive for all the employees working in the company, sharing part of the profit of the company. And working also with people coming from abroad. Few weeks ago, I began to employ people coming from Polonia. Was a nice guy, 18 or 19 years old, you know. That's the world of tomorrow. You need to be really open, really inclusive, and to be able to show the right way for everybody to go together in the same direction. And you could do that with many thought of people, you know.
On the social side, another question. Are there any issues to be tackled, to be improved around vineyard workers' conditions? So migrant labour, you know, this is an area in wine I always think the wine industry doesn't like to talk about. They like to pretend they have these lovely people who turn up every year. But we all know there are problems with labour.
The job changed a lot, especially for people working in the vineyard. It's a very hard job, you know, honestly. Under the quite exigent climatic condition, it's a very hard job. We were the first, and it will be the case now for many, many companies in the future. But for example, we had physical activities for all the people working in the estate, for example, you know. Every day, 15, 20 minutes at the beginning of the day, the people have other training with the supervision of a coach, and twice a week, 1 hour, to feel better in their body in front of the quite strict and hard conditions they can have during the job.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. The result is huge. We are able to have people who retired at the end of their career and not 5 years or 6 years before, because they are completely, it's great.
Can I ask you about wages as well? Pay is always a sensitive issue in any area of business, but we know inflation is running its highest for a long time in everywhere in Europe. How is it affecting wages and conversations about that with workers in the vineyards in Bordeaux?
To manage a company, and I have personally 65 people, you need to be very close. You need to talk with them. And for example, in front of the inflation, in 12 months, we had an increase of the salary of 6%, more than the standard inflation we had in France, which is, with the last year, 5.2%. Also, we changed a little bit the method to calculate how to share the profit. As we did a lot of investments, I preferred to take off all the amortization of the capital with that and giving more space for the sustainability performance in our company to share more profit with the employees. That's today, just to have an idea, a woman, for example, working in the vineyard, okay, without any scientific qualification, today, can 38,000 euro per year.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
That's not bad.
It's good. It's good. That's true that 30, 40 years ago, the job was considered as a poor job without only capacity to win money, but with a huge quantity of work to do, not 7 or 8 hours a day, needed to work 12, 14, even Saturday and Sunday, you know, it's completely finished. Now, all the people living close to La Roche-Saint-Honoré and working for my company have a normal social life, you know.
Frank, going back to talk about environmental issues with your members, out of the 250 that you have, what percentage would you say are doing really modern, good sustainability work to reduce impact?
Today, honestly, one third. But if you remember it, 20 years ago or 30 years ago, we did not have any organic wineries in Bordeaux. Today, Bordeaux is a main area in France with organic management in the wineries, more than 60%. It's a first step. The first step, you have one third of people completely convinced about the way to follow with sustainability. One third didn't have any idea about what is it. Seems to be fun, should be nice, but how much is it? And one third, the last third, could be probably the last people to convince. No idea at all about what is it. Even in their practices, they are in the pure conventional agriculture, you know, with probably using some herbicide or... But okay, it's such a problem. We have 5 years to move that. And as I consider that the only way possible for the future, we need to try, we need to inform. The first step will be to certify the Alliance des Crus Bourgeois in sustainability. It will be this year. To have the legitimacy to bring and to train the 250 people in this way. I'm quite optimistic for that.
I'm interested to hear your views about organic, because at the Sustainable Wine Roundtable that we run, we have lots of big producer members, and lots of them don't like organic. And people like Miguel Torres will tell you very publicly that organic is not a good idea for certain kinds of land use, particularly in certain parts of Europe where you don't have the right weather. And that, you know, there's a debate about whether or not it's a good idea. And lots of our members will say, we prefer conscious or regenerative agriculture that uses input where needed in a much smarter way. What are your views?
My personal view is the reason why I want to talk about sustainability and not only organic or biodynamic practices, because I consider that the best way is a global, a holistic analysis of what we do. And honestly, today, a pure organic management is not great. For one thing, for example, today, without any herbicide, we need to cultivate the soil very, very, very soon. Okay? It's not really good for the biodiversity. It's bad. For organic, we use a huge quantity, not everybody. Now we manage a little bit more, but a huge quantity of cobber, for example.
Yes.
Okay? No, it's not the case. But I remember 10, 15 years ago, it was a huge quantity of cobber per hectare.
I was told that the left bank was blue. In the 80s, with copper.
And that. No, it's completely finished. But I believe also to the vision saying, no product from the chemical product synthesis for the chemical product to protect the vineyard. We are able to use biocontrol products, more organic products like copper or sulfur, to have the alternative. I think it's the future. We need to have a more holistic vision, you know, we need to think to think about the biodiversity, to think about your soil and the plants. The reason why it's not pure, it's not the answer is not okay, organic.
I always think we should talk more about parts per million concentration, because chemicals don't care whether you put them on this side of the line or that side of the line.
The problem with that is the last 20 years, the progress of the analysis and the lower quantity we are able to detect now is so low. We are just working with the laboratories are working for that to about a quantity, the mini. It's finally the quantity below is impossible to have any problem with the biodiversity, the human. 20 years more, the capacity to detect a product will be
it's ridiculous. But then, of course, now we have technology evolving, so we can see a disease outbreak very quickly. We can use a targeted intervention to tackle it.
It was necessary because, effectively, if I remembered how we protected the vineyard 20, 30 years ago, it was with a lot of chemical products coming from the chemical industry. Now, it's completely the inverse. The people working with this sort of product are, honestly, really, really few. The reason why in our area today, so 60% of the vineyard is organic, and I think it's probably 70% of the estates are certified HVE, you know?
In the Cru Bourgeois.
In the Cru Bourgeois, as it will be the obligation. Now, the next certification, everybody improve the HVE certification in their business.
Can everybody make money out of sustainability? The reason I ask is that I often used to think of the Cru Bourgeois as kind of the middle class of Bordeaux. Right?
Absolutely.
And so that's a good opportunity because it's not the cheapest wine, but it's not the most expensive.
No, it's probably today the most accessible wine around the world.
But I also read that only 12% of wines from Bordeaux are sold for more than 12 euros a bottle. So there's a lot of land being used for marginal grape growing in Bordeaux, maybe not by your members, But then I hear, you know, 5 million hectolitres of production, 4 million hectolitres of use. So there is that challenge though, isn't there? Do you think sustainability can meet that challenge in wine, or do those farmers need to be thinking about grabbing something else?
The problem of production is a real problem. Today, we know that we need to take off 15 to 20,000 hectares in Bordeaux. If we remember, I think it's 20 or 30 years ago, Bordeaux was only 75,000 hectares. Now it's 120. As the consumption lower a little bit, it's too much wine. And that's true that today, the weight of this excellence of production, the weight on the price, is really important. Today, sustainability is the only, and probably Bordeaux could be a very good challenge around the world for that. And the Cru Bourgeois could be the unique family of châteaux officially engaged in sustainability. I think that today for the market is absolutely necessary. You are an importer, a distributor, a consumer. We need to give sense when you buy a product or a bottle of wine in our case. The reason why when you talk with the big, big accounts around the world now, every time they talk about what is your engagement in sustainability.
Yeah.
Not only organic washmere in sustainability. Okay, can you prove me that you are sustainable? Today, like that.
Big chat.
Very new, and you know, it's new. It's the last 5 years.
I always think the Cru Bourgeois is an amazing opportunity. If you think about the QR code that you want to launch, the fact that a farmer can film the work they're doing on a phone of good quality. Could you see a time where there's a QR code on the back of a bottle of Cru Bourgeois and it takes you to the farm and shows you the farmer saying, here's what I'm doing, here are my problems, and shows that kind of real story of farming?
The new evolution of our sticker tomorrow, because we need to find a new company to give us the sticker, but with the QR code we have. We have, through this QR code, we have to tell about our own history, but also the history of Cru Bourgeois, the value, what significate to be sustainable, well, to show everything. And that will be the evolution, the indication you need to now, or very soon, to put on the bottles in terms of energy, calorie, and the QR code will be the digital tool to communicate with the final consumers about why Cru Bourgeois is great.
Does that need to be done through the showing all these certificates, which consumers don't understand? Or should it be more you, Frank, the farmer, standing in your vineyard saying, yeah, I'm Frank and here's what I'm doing? And I think we have to be careful not to forget the farmer as the winemaker, you know, as the key player here for the consumer, because they don't believe certificates. They don't know what they mean.
It's the reason why we want to introduce a large part of video in the QR code.
Mm, oh, good.
Because to create a contact between the winery and the guy in the vineyard or in the cellar with the people who drink a glass of wine. About today, it's about digital communication. But today, that short video explain what you do. And why? And why is this year is difficult? And why the wine is so exceptional with this vintage? Oh, the show.
Well, we're looking forward to a positive future there, Frank. And we hope to be able to work with you in the Sustainable Wine Roundtable in the coming years to help your efforts being done in Bordeaux be understood internationally. That's part of our mission. But listeners, we'll draw this to a close now. You've been listening to a podcast with me, Toby Webb, from Sustainable Wine Roundtable, with Frank Bijon, President of the Cru Bourgeois de Médoc. Congratulations on the progress, Frank.
Thanks
so much.
Look
forward to hearing more, and thanks again for your time.
Thanks so much. Another time. Thank you.